Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I was reading how Adolf Hitler's toilet seat is going up for auction. They're expecting to get up to $15,000 for Hitler's toilet seat. And this toilet seat came out of the eagle's nest. If you're familiar with World War II, the eagle's nest was a big mansion, big old beautiful mansion that he was staying in Berghof. And when the Americans got up there right at the end of World War II and they got into the place, I mean, it was a beautiful home, and it had lots of expensive stuff in there, including liquor. And some American troops took some stuff out of there. And this one American troop, this one American soldier, he was United States military policeman Ragnvald Borch. He was told by his superiors at the at that home, at the retreat at the time, to quote, get what you want, as they took over the home. He grabbed a World War I armored vest on display because, you know, Hitler fought in World War I. And when he got beat, he wasn't happy about that. So they got the World War I armor, this one United States military policeman. He grabbed the World War I armored vest on display. He grabbed two oil paintings, and he grabbed the toilet seat. Another MP, military policeman, asked Borch, quote, what are you doing with that toilet, unquote. Borch said back to him, standing in the eagle's nest at the end of World War II, holding the toilet seat, quote, where do you think Hitler put his ass, unquote. And that was, that's what he said. And so it came back to the United States. He arranged to have the toilet seat shipped back to the United States, where it has been on display in the basement of his family's home in New Jersey since. So think about it. After all of the places Hitler's toilet seat could have been since World War II, it's been in a New Jersey basement since then, on display. Kind of makes sense. Out of everywhere Hitler's toilet seat could have been, a basement in New Jersey makes sense. and it's been on display there. But now they're I guess they're looking for some cash. His family.
See, I'm not in the military, John, and I do not know how the rules of engagement work. However, if you are to take down a dictator or whatever that you're at war with, is it not a war crime to take his stuff, or is it just the spoils of war? Like, are they even allowed to do that? If we go topple a government tomorrow, a tyrannical government, are we allowed to just take the stuff out of the dictator's mansion and bring it back to the United States all willy-nilly?
No, you wouldn't. Normally, you wouldn't think so, Coleman, but to get Hitler after all of that time, and here are these military police who are standing in what was nicknamed by our military the Eagle's Nest. I mean, it was something. If you're familiar with the end of World War II, that was a pretty big deal. How they got in there and they got some of his stuff,
but they got to keep it themselves. That's what I mean. I guess that's the spoils of war. Like today, if something happens between us and Kim Jong-un and we take him down, we could just take his tanks and his clothes and his shoes and his blinds off his windows and his curtains and his pillows. We could just take his stuff and bring it back home.
See, I don't know if it would be the same. I don't know if it would be the same. If you've ever seen the great World War II documentary called Band of Brothers, Tom Hanks was behind putting that on. The Band of Brothers was fantastic, and how they show that when they all got up to the Eagle's Nest and they saw a bunch of the stuff that he had in there. They were like I said, they took some of his booze. He had a ton of booze up there, and they drank some of it and took some of it, and I guess the toilet seat was
I'm not saying I'm against taking dictator stuff. I didn't know whether that was allowed or not. Like, I would gladly take a dictator's booze and maybe some of his concubines or whatever, but I didn't know it was allowed by our government to do so.
Yeah, again, I don't know if it's all quote-unquote allowed either. But when they got up there, Coleman, some of the guys were like, wow.
Take a toilet.
And this one United States military policeman, Ragnvald Borch, he was told by his superiors when they were up there at the time, get what you want, as they took over the home. And like I told you the things, he grabbed two oil paintings, a World War I armored vest on display, and he took the toilet seat. The toilet seat is wooden.
Oh, no. You get splinters on your ass on a wooden toilet.
They're hoping to get up to $15,000 at the auction for that Hitler's toilet seat. The opening bid was set at $5,000.
So how'd they confirm it? What they had, they could use the technology now to take some old stool samples and match the DNA to make sure that it was
actually...
I
don't know if they took crap, Coleman. I don't think they took Hitler's crap. Well, look, we know we didn't take any crap from Hitler. We know that. It's just a wooden toilet seat. The opening bid is starting at $5,000. It's happening. It's right around now. I've had this story for a couple of days. It's at the website liveauctioneers.com, where they are auctioning off the toilet seat from Adolf Hitler's sprawling, beautiful home. Berghoff, known as the Eagle's Nest. They got that in the waning days of World War II. Well, there's a piece of history. You think they'll get $15,000 for Hitler's toilet seat?
It wouldn't surprise me. Yes, they will.
If you're listening and you have any thoughts, you could text us at 504-260-9595. I always find auctions and history interesting, and that's really, there's some piece. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Yesterday on the show, we were telling you how rocker Marilyn Manson is being canceled right now. He's in the process of being canceled because a couple of days ago, not only one of his ex-girlfriends, a very famous ex-girlfriend of his, the really attractive Evan Rachel Wood, put on her social media that she was abused for years while she dated Marilyn Manson. Not only sexually abused, but mentally abused. She said that Marilyn Manson brainwashed her and sexually, mentally abused her. And after she put that on her social media, his record label dropped him. And I know he was on, he had a bit part on one television show, and I think he was involved in another television show or two. They all dropped him. They all said, we are no longer working with you. Also, after Evan Rachel Wood said that she was abused by Marilyn Manson, there were several other women who came out, women who dated him, who came out and said, he abused me too. There were several of them. One of them, porn star and multi-millionaire Jenna Jameson, came out and said that he bit me during sex, while they were doing sex. That Marilyn Manson was a biter. And he bit me, and he also fantasized about burning me and eating me. Marilyn Manson released a statement after these women came out and said this, denying this stuff and saying that everything I've ever done with my consensual partners was just that. Consensual. But I know the company that owns Bayou 95.7, I believe Entercom, I believe all of the rock stations who played Marilyn Manson music have removed his music from their radio stations. I know we have. I know we played one or two Marilyn Manson songs, not a lot, I mean, I know the beautiful people. From what I've been told by upper management here, we are no longer playing any of his music here on this radio station.
See, the thing about it is, when you look at Marilyn Manson's statement, it just seems like he just was rough in the bedroom, so to speak. He wasn't, like, abusive to where if she didn't cook him a sandwich, she'd slap him upside the head. It just seems like he got a little rough in the bedroom. But when you look at Marilyn Manson...
But I've just heard some things from people who know him saying, you need to believe these women.
I'm not saying I don't believe them. The women. I'm not saying I don't believe the women. It just seems like it got a little rough in the bedroom, and that's just, like, looking at him, he seems like he can get a little rough in the bedroom. So I do believe the women, but if it is consensual, is it necessarily abuse?
Slow down here, Coleman. A guy who played guitar in his band for upward of a year, he used to be the guitarist of the band Limp Bizkit. His name is Wes Borland, and he released a statement over the last day or two since this all came out, and he said, you need to believe the women. He said, I not only played with Marilyn Manson in his band after Wes Borland's Limp Bizkit days, he said, I've been at his house in the Hollywood Hills, up in the hills over Los Angeles, his big house. And he said, Marilyn Manson is not a good guy. And he goes, I played with him for almost a year. He said, Marilyn Manson is a bleeping, horrible person. And this is coming from someone who worked with him, who played guitar in his band. And when we talked about this yesterday, I mentioned, look, when I was on the radio in Boston, I didn't just have a show on WAAF. I was the music director for over 7 years. And I used to talk to all the record company guys, all of the people in the business on a regular basis. And I had heard even back then that Marilyn Manson was someone that, I mean, he did lots and lots and lots of drugs. And the way he was, even the record company guys were saying he's not a guy you really wanted to be around. Even guys who worked with him in his business, record company people, record company employees. And he had another famous ex-girlfriend besides Evan Rachel Wood, Rose McGowan, who was on the TV show Charmed with Alyssa Milano and Shannon Doherty. Rose McGowan said that she was a mess after she dated him. But we have seen recently over the last couple of years, Rose McGowan her mental health isn't where it should be. She's got some severe mental health issues.
Would it be unfair for me to say, duh? Like, you can look at Marilyn Manson and see that. I can believe all the stories from the women. Well, I could believe.
Could have been an act, but yeah, I mean, look at the guys.
Like, you kind of got what you're looking for. It's like I brought up the comparison of Dennis Rodman. Like, if you dated Dennis Rodman and you came out the other end like, whoa, that was a wild ride. It was like, yeah, did you not see the signs going into it? Like, I could look at Marilyn Manson. I could look at Dennis Rodman and say, yeah, if you go for that, prepare to buckle up.
Well, Coleman, the guy's real name is Brian Warner, and he obviously has some issues. Last night, police responded to disturbing incidents at his mansion in Los Angeles, at his home in the Hollywood Hills. Police responded to the Los Angeles home of Marilyn Manson last night, 2 days after he was accused of abuse by several women who he dated and who he had relationships with. Officers from the Los Angeles Police Department showed up at Marilyn Manson's home last night at about 6 o'clock for a reported disturbing incident. Nobody came to the front gate. Maybe people were thinking maybe he was going to try to, I don't know, kill himself or whatever. Police left when nobody answered, but they returned 2 hours later around 8 p.m. last night, which is 10 p.m. our time here. A witness told some news stations that there appeared to be a gathering outside of his home. No music, but raised voices and people in the garden standing next to the police officers, the witness said. And that's all we know. We have not heard anything further. But Marilyn Manson, he's in the process of being canceled. That's where we're at here in the year 2021 when it comes to several women making claims against a man, even though he hasn't been arrested or charged with anything, even though he hasn't had his day in court, and we know in our country, in the United States, how our justice system works. You know, you're innocent until you're proven guilty in a court of law. That hasn't happened. But people that I know, and I told you what the former Limp Bizkit guitarist Wes Borland said. Wes Borland played with Marilyn Manson for upwards of a year. He said he is not a good person. He is not a good guy. And he said he was in his house, that house in Los Angeles. And he said, you need to believe the women. And again, why would all of these women suddenly come out now?
I was thinking the same thing. They knew this at the time it was going on. Somebody could have tipped off somebody if it was that bad.
They didn't say anything while they were dating him. They said things after they dated him. But the latest with Marilyn Manson, he is being canceled. And some of the people that I know, some of the people that I have worked with, I've heard stories. We heard from one of his guitar players there, just not a good human being, not a guy that you would want to be around. I guess unless you got a hardcore drug habit. And now we're hearing from these women, not someone that you would want to. It's something how this stuff is happening right before our eyes in real time. And I don't know what happened last night at his home in Los Angeles, but
it just seemed like a bunch of upset people was trying to go to his house, and that's what it seems like. If there was a gathering outside of his house, it's probably maybe just some upset fans or ex-fans.
Could be.
Coming to give him a hard time.
Could be.
We should try this new thing that if there's a celebrity out there abusing people, whether it's physically, mentally, or sexually, just come out and say it right then and there instead of waiting almost years and years to come out with it. Like, that's, we should start that for 2021.
If something happens, just say it when it happens.
Yeah. Even if it is a big-time celebrity.
Maybe for some people, maybe it's not that easy, Coleman. Maybe they're frightened. They're afraid. They're scared. But that's the latest with that situation. All right. Coming up on the show, I've got a few New Orleans cops who I'm Facebook friends with. And yesterday, a couple of them were shot at in the Holy Cross neighborhood here in New Orleans when a guy with a gun, then after shooting at New Orleans police officers, he then barricaded himself in a home in the Holy Cross neighborhood. Stay tuned for the latest on that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Hey, Peeps are coming back. You know what Peeps are? Peeps are the marshmallow, very polarizing, yet famous marshmallow candy treat. Coleman, you like Peeps?
No, I don't like Peeps.
You know what Peeps are, right?
Yeah, they come back every Easter.
Well, it's not that they come back every Easter. That's when they sell the most. But they've been in business for a very long time, but they've been out of business for the last 9 months because of coronavirus, because of the pandemic. So think about the people who didn't have jobs, who lost their jobs, who worked for Peeps. They're coming back, and they've got their jobs back. But Peeps are back for Easter. The makers of Peeps announced yesterday that colorful spring treat we all know so well We'll be back in production in time for Easter after a 9-month production break because of the pandemic, because of coronavirus. So even if you don't like Peeps, I'm not the biggest fan, but even if you don't like Peeps, good news, because at least the people that work there, that make them, they have a job again.
That's cool.
That is very cool. But I've always thought Peeps tasted better stale than they did when you just opened them from and took them out of their packages. And that's why I've always had an issue with Peeps, because anything that you think is better stale than fresh, there's an issue there. That's just me. I know there are people out there that prefer their Peeps fresh out of the package, but I prefer Peeps when you've left them open for a while and they're stale.
That's very enlightening, John.
Yeah, that's just for me. But good news, after a 9-month hiatus because of coronavirus, Peeps they're back. They're back in business, and the people working there, they've got jobs. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And if you've listened to this show, you know that I have respect for the New Orleans Police Department. They're undermanned. They have been for a long time. They're 300, 400, 500 cops short. They need that many more cops. And the job that they do, boy, yesterday's a perfect example. They get called over to a house in the Holy Cross neighborhood here in the city, and some guy starts shooting at them. And I know a few New Orleans police officers, and some of them are my Facebook friends, and one of them posted last night that he was there when they were being shot at. None of them were killed or injured yesterday, but some guy barricaded himself in a home in the Holy Cross neighborhood in the Ninth Ward, and he started shooting at police officers, at police cars, and that standoff lasted for a little while, but they ended up getting the guy last night without any deaths. They got him out of his house. They arrested him, and that was good news. You know, when I've lived in a few different neighborhoods in New Orleans in the 13 years that I've lived in the city. I used to live in an apartment building, Coleman. When I first moved here, I lived in Gravier Place, right on, it's basically on the corner of Gravier Street, and that's Barone Street. And I had a New Orleans cop who lived across the hall from me, and one day we were going to work at the same time. We were walking down the hall to the elevator. And you should have seen how he was dressed. He was SWAT. And yesterday, some of the New Orleans SWAT team, the New Orleans Police SWAT members, showed up at the incident yesterday. But we're walking down the hall right next to each other to go to the elevator. And he had a few different guns strapped to him. He had the shields that were around his chest, the headgear that he had on. And I'm walking next to him going to my job, and I had a pair of headphones in one hand and a book about monkeys in the other. And I'm thinking to myself, look at the difference in us walking to our jobs. And I got to know that guy, and I had a lot of respect for him. And you know, as I mentioned yesterday on the show, if you weren't listening, you know, if you're under the age of 70 here in New Orleans, the odds are greater that you will die getting shot here in the city than you will die of coronavirus. And you just look at the statistics, you look at the numbers. And we live in a city where people get shot every day, yet we have a police force that is 300 or 400 cops short because of the federal consent decree that happened right at the beginning of our last mayor, Mitch Half Moon Landrieu's term, and we haven't even come close to getting our police force stocked up again. So it's a very undermanned and in many cases overworked police force. That's why I have respect for the New Orleans Police Department. I think the job they do is something that I wouldn't want to do. And good news yesterday that even though they were shot at, none of them were killed, none of them were seriously injured, and they ended up getting the guy who barricaded himself in the house after shooting at the New Orleans police. They ended up arresting him with no further bad stuff happening.
So, on a side note, you should bring that monkey book to work just in case we have a slow day when we run out of stuff to talk
about.
Don't
I have it here somewhere in one of my bookcases?
Oh, you lost it?
I think one of my bookcases here at Bayou 95.7. I think I've got that very book.
All right, we've
got
to find it just in case.
Hey, coming up next, should the Saints trade Alvin Kamara and or Michael Thomas and or first-round draft picks to get Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans? Because it doesn't look like he's going to be playing in Houston anymore. He's demanded a trade, and he is one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. We should trade whatever it takes to get him, right? So stay tuned for that report coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And the Saints and all of Saints Nation are waiting for Drew Brees to make his official decision. It looks like he's going to retire. Even though he has 1 year left on his contract, he's been banged up the last couple of years. Injuries, not just this past season, but 2 years ago, he missed games. And even though he is one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played, he's either number one or two when it comes to quarterbacks with touchdown passes in the NFL, with the most passing yards in the NFL. This is the history of the game. He'll go down, obviously, as one of the greatest. In my opinion, he is the greatest free agent signing in all of sports history, not just professional football, but professional baseball or professional basketball. When he showed up here back in 2006, coming off a serious injury to his shoulder, that's why the then San Diego Chargers decided to let him go, draft a quarterback. They drafted Eli Manning, but remember the New Orleans native? His father, Archie Manning, the former great Saint quarterback, said he'll never play for San Diego. He did not want his son playing for the San Diego Chargers. Even though San Diego drafted him, they then traded him, Eli Manning, to the New York Giants for draft picks and players, and they ended up getting Phillip Rivers, who just retired. He's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame as well. Eli Manning is definitely going to go to the Hall of Fame for winning 2 Super Bowls. So Sean Payton said yesterday, the coach of the Saints, that they expect Drew Brees' decision to come within a week or two. I think it's going to come right after the Super Bowl. It has to come soon, especially if he's retiring, because the Saints need to get a quarterback. And Deshaun Watson, the young star quarterback for the Houston Texans, looks like he's never going to play another game in Houston. Even though he has another year left on his contract, he has demanded a trade. He's not happy with that franchise. They traded his best wide receiver. Hopkins, they traded him away last year. They fired their coach. They got a new coach coming in. And I don't think Deshaun Watson is happy with who they chose as their new head coach. And he has demanded a trade. And even though he has 1 year left on his contract, he said, it looks like he's not going to play there ever again. He could sit out next year if Houston doesn't want to trade him, which they don't want to trade him because he's a great young quarterback with a lot of years left in him. So that tells me he's going to do what veteran Matthew Stafford did last week or 2 weeks ago. Matthew Stafford said with the Detroit Lions, I'm done here. This is a horrible organization. He didn't say that. I'm saying it's a horrible organization. Even though he's played there for over a decade, Matthew Stafford was the number one overall pick as a quarterback out of the University of Georgia, and he only played in three playoff games in over a decade. He never won one, but that's because, I mean, that's a horrible organization, the Detroit Lions. They've had several different head coaches. He said, look, I'm done. I want out. Trade me. And they traded him to the Los Angeles Rams for not only their starting quarterback, Jared Goff, but also two first-round draft picks, one third-round draft pick. So for Stafford, who's never won a playoff game on a horrible organization, Detroit got in return the Rams starting quarterback, Jared Goff, who may never play a game for the Lions, but they also got two first-round draft picks in two different years and a third-round draft pick in a season. So for those draft picks alone, that was worth Matthew Stafford.
Even with all the mileage that he had 10 years in?
Even with all the mileage, he's that solid of a quarterback where if he goes to a team who's really good right now, who's got a solid offensive line and a really good defense, and the Rams have both of those things, that's why the Rams decided to make that trade. They gave up a lot for Matthew Stafford. Now, if I'm the Saints, I wouldn't have done that for Stafford, but I give up whatever the Houston Texans want for Deshaun Watson because he's so much younger than Stafford. And yeah, that means if they want Alvin Kamara, you trade Alvin Kamara. If they want Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, you trade Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. That's how good Deshaun Watson is. He would be the Saints quarterback for the next decade, and he's fantastic. If they want Alvin Kamara and a couple of first-round draft picks, you'd have to do that to get Deshaun Watson. Or if you're the Saints, if Drew Brees retires, you sit back and go with either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston next year and then just try to sign Deshaun Watson after next year when his contract with the Houston Texans is up. And then it wouldn't cost you Alvin Kamara, and it wouldn't cost you Michael Thomas, and it wouldn't cost you a first-round pick or a couple of first-round picks, a second-round pick, a third-round pick. On top of that, you'd have to wait 1 year to let his contract, if he's sitting out next year, if they're not going to trade him, you have to wait 1 year, let his contract expire. Then you try to sign him. But the problem with that is there's going to be several other teams that want to sign him too. I'm asking you, if you're listening right now, if Drew Brees retires, would you agree with me that you do whatever it takes? You trade whoever it takes. And that's including Alvin Kamara to get Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, here in New Orleans.
Dwayne says, you do not trade Kamara. What's wrong with you, John? Michael Thomas, yeah, he's a dime a dozen. Also, get rid of Butterfingers Jared Cook.
Well, Cook is gone. The tight end will not be re-signed next year. He's supposed to make upwards of $8 or $9 million. They can't afford that next year. Next year is going to be a wild year for the Saints because they got to get rid of some players to make it under the salary cap. The salary cap is the number that is set by the league that every NFL team has to stay under. That's what keeps the NFL competitive. It doesn't matter what size city you're playing in. It's not like baseball where big city New York, big city Los Angeles, big city Boston, they spend a lot more money on their teams than smaller cities like Tampa, than smaller cities spend. And that's why it's usually the same group of teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. That's why it's usually the same group of big city teams who are winning every year or most years. Football's not like that. So the Saints, to stay under that salary cap that every team has to stay under, they're going to have to get rid of Jared Cook. They're going to have to get rid of Thomas Morstead. He won't be back next year as a punter because they can't afford to pay those guys and stay under the salary cap. And that's what keeps every NFL team. It doesn't matter what size city you're playing on, big market, smaller market, medium market. It doesn't matter. The salary cap is what keeps the NFL competitive.
Primo says Drew ain't going nowhere.
So he thinks that Breeze is coming back for one more year. I've heard he might, and if his rotator cuff can get better and he can throw the ball farther than 15 or 20 yards downfield, which he couldn't this season, especially towards the end of the season, he couldn't do that. But it doesn't look like the Saints are going to win with either Taysom Hill, who in those games he played for Drew Breeze this year, he didn't light anything on fire. He didn't look spectacular. The one thing that makes Taysom Hill great is that he can run. But if you're the every week starter in the NFL, you can't be a running quarterback week in and week out and take that abuse, take that physical pounding that you would take from NFL defenses. And then the other quarterback they have is Jameis Winston. I mean he failed after, you know, he was the number one overall pick as well. He failed in Tampa. And plus, he's had off-field issues with rape, with grabbing female women, a female woman Uber drivers grabbing her about where he shouldn't have touched her. Like, he's had some off-field issues, and I don't know if Jameis Winston is the guy that you want to be the face of this organization, or maybe Kamara would still be the face in that situation. But do you really want Jameis Winston leading your team next year? And there are other teams right now, including the Chicago Bears, who look like they are offering Jameis Winston a big money, big, a lot bigger than he made this past year for being the third string quarterback or second string quarterback, depending on which game it was here in New Orleans.
Yes, Tech says, no way, we have a QB. Now, they didn't say which QB. They didn't say whether it was Breeze Hill or Winston, but they said, no way, we have a QB.
Again, I mean, who's the QB? If Breeze retires, you think you're going to win with Taysom Hill? Do you really think you're going to win with him? He's not proven yet. Do you think you're going to win with Jameis Winston, who flunked out, who failed out of Tampa Bay?
Golf War Vet says the Texans and the Bears traded Watt and Watson plus players and draft picks. Okay, not sure what that.
Well, Watson hasn't been traded by anybody, and the Watt you're talking about is J.J. Watt's younger brother, who plays. He's got a couple of younger brothers who are playing in the NFL right now. I think if Houston, again, they don't want to trade him, but if Deshaun Watson says, because he's got 1 year left, if he says, I'm sitting out and I'm going to wait a year, he could do that.
But don't you want Watson to work with Kamara? You don't want to get rid of Kamara, right?
I don't, but if I don't want to get rid of Kamara Coleman, but if that's what it takes, it's much easier to find another great running back than it is to find another great quarterback. It's much easier to do that. And so that's why Breeze has to tell the Saints what he's doing soon. And then if he says he wants to come back for one more year, are you fine with that? I guess I'm okay with that. If he can get that rotator cuff in his shoulder strengthened up a bit, even at his age. I mean, Drew Breeze is still one of the greatest.
Yeah, this, the text back said he was talking about Taysom when he said we have a QB.
Look, I like Taysom Hill, but he's unproven. He's unproven that he can consistently throw the ball downfield with accuracy. He turned the ball over a lot in those four games that he played with the Saints last year. He is not proven. Deshaun Watson is a proven stud quarterback who could be here for the next 10 years. And if he's refusing to play another game, if he's demanding a trade from the Houston Texans, he could very easily sit out 1 year and then sign anywhere as a free agent after next year. But if Houston wants to trade him, would you trade whatever it took to get him?
This last text says, Drew Brees plays one more year and the Saints will move up in the draft and get a QB. And everybody else is saying John has officially lost his mind and are you drinking? Heck no, no Alvin or Mike.
Well,
cuckoo.
Well, some other team. Again, look what the Rams just traded for Matthew Stafford. And they're convinced Stafford will lead them to the Super Bowl next year. Look what they just traded. Two first-round draft picks, a third-round draft pick, and their starting quarterback, Jared Goff. So what do you think Deshaun Watson's going to get? He's going to get more than that. That just set the market on what the value for Deshaun Watson is going to be. Look, I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara. I don't want to trade Michael Thomas either. But it's going to take that to get Deshaun Watson to play quarterback here for the next decade for the New Orleans Saints. Text us, 504-260-9595. Look, I don't want to trade those guys, but don't call me crazy because that's what it's going to take greatness to get greatness to play quarterback for the next decade here in New Orleans on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I just learned who that Aerosmith song was about. Dude Looks Like a Lady. I just read, after all of these years, I just found out this week who that song was about. Did you know who that song was about? In the 80s, when Steven Tyler, before he got clean, when he was all messed up on dope and booze and everything in between, he was in a bar, and he was so messed up, he liked this blonde-haired, quote-unquote, woman who was standing near him in a bar, and he was with some management from Aerosmith, and they walked up to this person, tapped the person on the shoulder, the long blonde hair, the nice body from behind. The person turned around, and you know who it was? Steven Tyler wanted to pick this person up and go home with this person. This person was Vince Neil, the singer of Motley Crue. Now remember, this was the mid-80s, and Vince Neil back then, he was thin, he had the long blonde hair, the dude looked like a lady, and Steven Tyler, when Vince Neil turned around, I said, oh, geez, oh, sorry, wrong person. He would never make that mistake with that person today. I mean, if you see Vince Neil today compared to how Vince Neil used to look back in the early to mid-80s. But I never knew that until this week. That song's been out forever. And I just read, that's a true story, that a very messed up Steven Tyler in a bar in the early to mid-80s thought from behind that Vince Neil looked like a hot woman. And then when Vince Neil turned around, well, at least they got the song out of it, right? Dude Looks Like a Lady. Coming up next, your texts on what I was just talking about, how Drew Brees has to make his decision soon if he's coming back next year. And if he retires like most people think, Deshaun Watson is finished in Houston. He's played his last game there. Houston has to trade him. And he's a great young quarterback. And I said, whatever it takes, whether it's Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, a couple of first-round draft picks, whatever it takes to bring Deshaun Watson to New Orleans, the Saints need to do that. Your texts are coming in, and there's some good ones. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And the Saints said yesterday that they're expecting Drew Brees' announcement, whether he will retire or not, to come pretty soon, within a week or two. It should come very, very soon. It should come right after the Super Bowl, because they have to figure out what they're going to do with that position next year. Look, I think what Taysom Hill did along with Drew Brees was real good, but Taysom Hill has not proven himself as an every down quarterback in the NFL. When he did play in those games last year, I mean, he turned the ball over a lot. He wasn't consistent throwing the ball deep downfield. And look, I know he's just now starting to play quarterback at this level. But I think Taysom Hill is great when he comes in once in a while. He could run it or he could throw it. I think he's great in that role, but he is unproven as an every down NFL quarterback. They also have Jameis Winston. There are some teams right now that are looking to offer Jameis Winston a long-term big money contract. I know the Bears are interested. I think the Jets are interested. There are some teams that want to offer Taysom Hill a big money quarterback. Do you really want the Saints to pay Taysom Hill big money to play quarterback here with his off the field issues? And he's not proven on the field either. He was run out of Tampa Bay by that organization, who now is in the Super Bowl 1 year after they kicked him out, their former number one overall draft pick. 1 year after they said, see you, Jameis Winston, they're in the Super Bowl. So I said, because I was just reading how Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans, is demanding a trade. And he may be willing to sit out all of this upcoming season because he has 1 year left on his contract. He may be willing to do that. But the Houston Texans don't want him to do that, because then they would just lose him for nothing. So you would think the Houston Texans are going to do what the Detroit Lions just did and trade their very unhappy, very productive quarterback. And look what the Lions just got from the Rams for Matthew Stafford, who's been in the league over a decade. He's been with a horrible organization from top to bottom. That's what the Detroit Lions are. But he's been in the league over a decade. He's 0-3 in playoff games. He's never won a playoff game, Matthew Stafford. And the Los Angeles Rams just gave him their starting quarterback. They just traded their starting quarterback for him, along with two first-round draft choices in two different years, the Rams' first-round draft choice, and a third-round draft choice. So they got four players for Matthew Stafford, and he's never won a playoff game. He's 0-3. Deshaun Watson, he's a young superstar who's going to be with a team, whoever he goes to, for the next decade. And I said the Saints should trade whoever they have to trade. Hey, if it only costs them two first-round draft picks, a third-round draft pick, maybe another first-round draft pick, and a player or two, The market's been set with the Rams, what they traded for Matthew Stafford. And you would think Deshaun Watson is going to get a lot more than Detroit just got for Matthew Stafford, again, which was Jared Goff, a starting quarterback, two first-round draft picks, and a third-round draft pick. So the market has been set there. I said if they asked for Alvin Kamara for Deshaun Watson and a couple of first-round draft picks and a third-round draft pick, you got to do that. I asked you to text us. I said Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, draft picks, whatever Houston wants for Deshaun Watson, you should come close at least to giving them that. I'm not sure about Michael Thomas, because that would piss off Deshaun Watson, because that was one of the things that pissed him off about Houston. They traded his best wide receiver to Arizona. So I don't think Deshaun Watson would be happy if you traded Michael Thomas, if he was part of that trade, to Houston to get Deshaun Watson. What do you think? Let's hear a few of your texts.
Real quick, Kamara stays. John is crazy. This text says, no running QB, referring to Taysom Hill. So you wouldn't want Mahomes because he can run, or Lamar Jackson?
They only run, especially Mahomes, once in a great while. They're not going to continue to run a lot like Taysom Hill has been running. And Taysom Hill, if he does stay,
and he wins the job. He can't run as much as he used to. Full-time NFL quarterbacks can't run that much. They can't take the beating from the hits from the NFL defenses.
This text says, 3-1, 70% completion ratio, rating of 108 as a starter, Watson my butt. Watson failed in Houston.
So is he talking about Taysom Hill?
No, Watson. Watson failed. He says Watson failed in Houston.
The numbers you just gave were great quarterback numbers. He must be talking about another quarterback.
He's talking about the beginning part must be about somebody else. Yeah, but yeah, we don't have time to get to the rest of them, but they had a few good.
I know. Look, you would have to put Deshaun Watson in the top 10 or 15% of NFL quarterbacks who are playing right now.
Except for this one that just came in. You're a nut job. Stick to music.
So you want to stay here? Look, I don't want to change. I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara either. But what's it going to take to get Deshaun Watson here? And you want Deshaun Watson more than you'd want Taysom Hill, who is completely unproven.
Oh, this is too good. Jameis is a loser because he failed in Tampa, but Watson is great for losing in Houston.
Losing, he was better in Houston than Jameis Winston was. In Tampa Bay.
Okay, we got to go. We can't get to all of these. These are some great texts.
I know. We got some good ones. If we can't finish this today, we'll get back to this tomorrow. I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara, but it's going to take a lot to get Deshaun Watson here. And you'd be crazy if you didn't want Deshaun Watson here for the next 10 years. You'd be crazy. He's one of the handful of best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning, it's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And we just had a wild hour talking about should the Saints, once Drew Brees makes his announcement over the next few days, which he's going to, and it looks like he's going to retire. If Drew Brees retires, should they make a run at Deshaun Watson, currently the quarterback of the Houston Texans? He has demanded a trade. Houston probably won't let him sit out next year and then lose him for nothing. They're going to want to get as much as they can for him. Should the Saints make a run at Deshaun Watson, it might cost them Alvin Kamara and a couple of first-round draft picks. That market, the value has already been set. It was just set last week when the Los Angeles Rams traded their quarterback and two first-round draft picks and a third-round draft pick to get Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions. So the market, the trade market has been set for quarterbacks, and you would have to think Deshaun Watson would get more in return than Matthew Stafford just got from the Los Angeles Rams, and that was a lot that the Rams just traded for him. And I was just saying, would you trade Alvin Kamara and a couple of first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson? Because that's what it's going to take. A lot of people thinking I'm crazy for even saying that. But Deshaun Watson is one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's going to cost a lot to get him. But you would think wherever he lands, he's going to be great for the next decade. And we had some, again, look, I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara, but if that's what it takes to get Deshaun Watson, I would love to see Deshaun Watson in a Saints uniform being their quarterback for the next decade. But we'll put that on the back burner for right now. We'll get back to that in the near future. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, there is a live performance of a fantastic movie that's happening this weekend at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, and it's being put on by our friends at the Jefferson Performing Arts Society. It's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. What a great movie that was. And joining us now is Amy Kirk from the Jefferson Performing Arts Society. Good morning,
hey,
Kirk.
John.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So you're working now with JPAS, the Jefferson Performing Arts Society, and you've got a live version of an amazing story, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was originally a book written by Ken Kesey, and yep, then it got picked up to be a movie. And the person who got the rights to the movie was the actor Michael Douglas, And his father wanted to play McMurphy in the movie version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And Michael Douglas had to tell his father, Kirk Douglas, he had to tell Spartacus, sorry, Dad, you can't have this role because you're too old for it right now. We're going with Jack Nicholson. But that, ooh. Yeah, but he, can you imagine having to tell your father, the guy who was Spartacus that? And that movie went on to not only be fantastic, but win a bunch of Academy Awards. And you're putting that live performance on this weekend, yep, of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest at the beautiful brand new Jefferson Performing Arts Center, which is right next to the Shrine on Airline. And so that show is this Friday night and this Saturday night, and you're having a pre-Super Bowl Sunday afternoon version, right, of that going on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can either make the choice or maybe you can do both. The show's about an hour. It's exactly 125 minutes. So with intermission, it's about, you know, you'll be there for 2.5 hours. So give or take. You'd probably leave the theater around 4:30. So that would be your Sunday matinee for those of you who want to plan around that. Yep. Like you mentioned, it was a book, then it was a movie, then it was a play. The play is by Dale Wasserman, and the show is live. I always feel like I need to just make sure people understand we are doing live performances now. We've been doing them since October, started off kind of conservatively with some one-man shows, and this is our first full production at the main stage. We haven't done one since March, you know, actually February. It ended in February. We were in rehearsals for another show in March when everything shut down. So this is really, it's been a full year since we've had a full production at JPAC. So we're really excited to come out of the gate strong with this one. And like you and I were talking before, it's the cast is really strong. Like you said, it's got to be strong for someone to play both McMurphy and Ratchet, and the woman playing Ratchet is Maria Victoria Heft, and she's been seen in a lot of local shows at both through JPass and Rivertown. If you've been to the theater in the past 5 years, you've seen her in a bunch of stuff. So she, you know, like you said, Nurse Ratchet has to kind of carry the show, and she does.
You know, we're talking with Amy Kirk. Amy Kirk works with the Jefferson Performing Arts Society, and because of the coronavirus pandemic, they've had the screws just like most of us have, and they're finally having a live show this weekend, and it's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. What an incredible movie, an incredible show, and like I said to you, Kirk, you and this is the first show that you've been able to do for a while, and so if, yep, if you're listening right now and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, what a great live performance to take in at that beautiful new building right next to the Shrine on Airline, the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And so you're telling me they've got a great McMurphy, which Jack Nicholson won an Academy Award for playing in this great story. And they've got a great Nurse Ratchet, and that actress won the Academy Award for that movie, her performance in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So you're telling me this weekend we're going to see a great McMurphy and we're going to see a great Nurse Ratchet.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the movie's got a huge cast and all those supporting roles we were just talking to, like, you know, you had Danny DeVito and
yes,
other well-known people in the movie. You can't, even these folks who have very little to say are all part of this ensemble because they have everything to do with the story between McMurphy and Ratchet. So the whole cast is really strong. And again, a lot of familiar faces, Carlos Gonzalez, David Hadel. Haydel, I should say, of Haydel Bakeries is in it, actually. Wayne DeGrippont, a lot of folks you've seen on stage in recent years. And so it's a great ensemble cast. They've worked together before. A lot of them, at least half of them, have been in other shows together. So that makes a big difference, you know, in a show like this that has all these big and small parts that are key to the whole drama. So, and it's cool, you know, even down to just, you know, it's, especially if you haven't been to live theater in a while, it's a great feeling to walk into a theater right now because it's such a luxury. It feels like we have people spaced safely. Everyone has to wear masks. But it's a, like you said, it's a lovely theater, and the set is really cool. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a 1960s institution. The play, like the movie, takes place in 1963 in a, you know, a Washington State institution. And it's got these green walls, institutional green walls, and the black and white checkered floor. You know, you walk into the theater and you're there you are. You're there in the state mental institution. So it's a good escape, but it's also kind of a good therapeutic show, I think, to watch in these crazy times, you know.
Well, Amy Kirk, it's going to be fantastic for people just to be able to go out and do something again, to go out. I mean, we're 11 months now into the coronavirus pandemic. But like you said, if people want to go see the show this weekend, they just have to wear a face mask like they have to wear to go anywhere else, basically, these days. But it would just be awesome to get out of the house and to go see a live performance of something with a bunch of local actors. And the live version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, this version you're putting on there in Metairie this weekend, it's been getting a lot of great reviews. And I can't think of a, boy, after, again, being cooped up, to be able to get out, put the face mask on, go see a live show, and that show is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's such a great show. How can people get tickets, Amy Kirk?
Thanks. If you go to jpass.org, jpas.org, you'll see a drop-down for our live shows. We have three shows this season, and this one is kicking it off. So this one runs through Sunday, February 7th. There's three shows left, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 2. So just go to jpass.org, and you can get tickets. And if you're excited about the other two shows coming up, you could buy a package and save some money on getting all three shows.
Yeah, where you work, the Jefferson Performing Arts Society, they always put on great live entertainment. And boy, this weekend, it's a live version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And it's at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And if you want tickets, again, there's a show Friday night, tomorrow night. There's a show Saturday night. And then there's a pre-Super Bowl Sunday afternoon matinee. There are tickets available. You can get them at jpas.com.
Dot org.
I bet it would show up, but yes. That's important because that means we're a nonprofit, so it's even more important that you buy tickets.
Yeah, you guys do great work and you do great performances, and I'm sure the live version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest this weekend is going to be amazing. I'm going to try to make it out. I want to go see that. For tickets, it's go to jpas.org. That's jpas.org. And if you're looking for something to do, I can't recommend anything more this weekend than going to see the live version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest there in Metairie at that beautiful new building next to the Shrine on Airline. Amy Kirk, thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for the work you do. You do great work. And I'm sure this is going to be awesome this weekend for people just to be able to get out for the first time in a while, put a mask on. And go see a live version of the amazing book that was an amazing movie, and it's an amazing live play, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It is a high energy, like we talked. It's an intense show, but it is worth every second because it really does, you know, there's nothing like seeing a show like that live. You know, the movie's wonderful and intense and has its ups and downs, and it's as I mentioned before, it's almost hard to watch, but seeing it live, and the play's slightly different than the movie too. It's always fun to see, if you've read the book and seen the movie, it's cool to see the play, you know, and see what's a little bit different. But there's nothing quite like seeing Ratchet and McMurphy go at it live, you know.
Yes. So if you're listening, you're looking for something to do, I can't recommend anything more this weekend. The live version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Go get your tickets at jpas.org. Thank you, Amy Kirk, from the Jefferson Performing Arts Society. And tell the maestro, Dennis Asaf, I said hi.
I absolutely will. And I hope we see you there this weekend. Thanks a lot.
All right, Amy. And coming up next, we got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I got other things I got to get to. So much to do this morning. So little time on the show here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I'm not the biggest country music fan. I'm a rock person. I like some of the old country stuff. You know, when you looked at the Bad Boys of country, when you look like Johnny Cash, and you looked at Waylon Jennings and guy, I even thought Hank Williams Sr. That some of that stuff was pretty cool. But I'm not a big fan of country music these days. Big news in country. There's an act called the Brothers Osborne. And one of those Osborne brothers, TJ Osborne, just officially came out as gay, as homosexual. He's the first openly gay country music artist, because they didn't think those two things went hand in hand.
I find it hard to believe, though. I do.
Oh, I'm sure there's country artists that are gay, but they just don't want to come out because the country music fans, I don't know how accepting they are, but hopefully this will work out well, because it shouldn't matter who you do sex with. If you make good music, then you make good music, or whatever you do, whatever job you may have, it shouldn't matter who you do sex with, right? We're in the year 2021. But this guy, TJ Osborne, from the Brothers Osborne, I guess he just, he's the first openly gay country music artist, Coleman. And hopefully people will still like his music if they liked it before. It shouldn't matter who you do sex with, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're openly gay gangster rappers. So if they're openly gay gangster rappers that are accepted, I don't see why a country music should make a difference.
Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And boy, what a few people just did to save a few dollars is incredible. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but it's true. And I'll tell you what happened. What these people did to save a few dollars, coming up next on the Red All Morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And, you know, there are some mornings, and this morning is one of them, where we didn't have nearly as much time to get to everything that I had here in front of me that I wanted to get to.
Yeah, these damn rock songs on this classic rock station keep getting in the way of our show.
Well, Coleman,
if we could get rid of some of these classic rock songs, we could probably do a real show.
But someone texted, because I just brought up how there's this country act, the Osborne, or the Brothers Osborne, has nothing to do with Ozzy, but they're called the Brothers Osborne. One of them yesterday just came out of the closet. And TJ Osborne from the Brothers Osborne, and he said he's gay, and he's the first openly gay country music artist. And because, you know, usually those things didn't go hand in hand, country music and being homosexual. So like I said, it shouldn't matter, and it doesn't matter to me who people do sex with. If I like their work, whether it's their music or they work in another line of work and I like what they do for a living and I like them as people, I don't care if someone's gay or not. It doesn't affect my life. It doesn't matter who people do sex with. And that's how society should be as we sit here in the year 2021, right? Well, there's another country artist who I've never heard of who's making news. This guy named Morgan Wallen. Is that how you say his last name? W-A-L-L-E-N?
Wallen, maybe.
Is it Morgan Wallen?
Maybe.
He's making news because he's a country artist, but he was just caught on video screaming the N-word at somebody.
Oh.
And so now he's getting slammed by other people, country artists as well. People are saying, hey, Morgan, that's not the first time you use that word. You know that. And he's apologized for it. And he said, it's not who I am. But the problem when someone says that is, no, Morgan Wallen, it is who you are, because you were caught on video yelling that word, the N-word, at somebody. And you weren't doing it in a positive manner. Although his record company now is scrambling. You know, if he used the N-word, what his record company should do, see if he can rap and make some kind of a hip-hop album.
But you know, N.W.A.?
Because they say that all the time. But no, that wouldn't be accepted because he's a white guy saying that word. And you can't do it in the year 2021. Cannot do it, Morgan Wallen. We'll see what happens with his career, because the cancel culture, they're in the process of canceling Marilyn Manson. By the way, you're never going to hear or see from Marilyn Manson again. You will never see him or hear from him again.
I would say Morgan is through, but did he even start? Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, but I don't even know who Morgan Wallen is. With Marilyn Manson, it's because several women have come out and said that he has sexually abused them, whether it was physically abusing them or mentally abusing them. We will never hear from Marilyn Manson again. He is finished. He's been dropped by his record company. There were a couple of things he was doing on video. They've dropped them as well. You will never hear or see Marilyn Manson again. Well, I mean, you'll hear his old stuff if you want to, if you like his music. But as far as going forward, you will never hear from Marilyn Manson again. He's officially been canceled for abusing women. And now here is this country artist, Morgan Wallen, who was caught on video saying the N-word, yelling it, screaming it at somebody. He's apologizing, but the cancel culture will probably do the same to him.
Yeah.
As well. And when someone apologizes like that and says, it's not who I am, it's not me. Well, yes, it is. Because when you didn't know you were being watched, that's what you said.
How dare this country singer say the word that every other rapper in the world says?
Yeah, and I don't think his record company would have much success trying to switch him to become a hip-hop artist or a rap artist at this point. Hey, we're running out of time. We've been running out of time all morning. It's the time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Four travelers eat 66 pounds of oranges to avoid extra airline fees.
Ew, yuck.
Yeah, you know, if you're traveling and you've got extra weight on you, whether it's weight that you're carrying in a bag and you don't want to pay for that weight, I guess you can eat it. And that's what happened here with these four people who were about to get on an airplane. Four travelers, they probably never want to see another orange again after devouring 66 pounds of oranges at a Chinese airport to avoid paying extra airline fees. Yeah, China continues to make news here in our country. The four men recently ate 66 pounds of oranges in about 30 minutes.
Mm-mm.
At a Kunming airport they tried bringing the giant box of fruit back home from a business trip, but in the Yunnan province, the group, they were all co-workers, when they were told they were going to have to pay more money for all of this weight, this extra baggage they had, the four of them got together and they ate 66 pounds of oranges so they wouldn't have to pay the airline to bring on the extra weight.
It doesn't say whether they were trying to come to America with oranges from China. Come on, after what's going on with China right now, do we want anything from China to come to the States? They weren't coming here, were they?
No. Well, they weren't coming to America.
Good. All right.
With that. Because one of the travelers, his last name is Wang. He's the guy that, although he could be American, although he's the guy who did the interview with the media, he said, quote, we just stood there and ate the whole thing. It took about a half an hour, but they didn't want to pay the extra weight fee to bring on the airline. So Wang and three other guys decided to eat the 66 pounds of oranges.
Do you think your favorite American hero, Joey Chestnut, could have pulled this off?
Very easily. Joey Chestnut Coleman, he could have done that. He probably could have done the orange peels too, that Wang and the other three were peeling off the oranges to eat them. You know, this good thing none of these guys were diabetics, because oranges have sugar in them, and this wouldn't have been good for their sugar intake.
I could have probably done it with 66 pounds of crawfish, but not oranges.
So you could have eaten 66 pounds of something. It just depended what those 66 pounds were.
Because the way they measure crawfish, they count the whole shell, but you're not really eating the entire crawfish. You're just eating the meat inside. So 66 pounds of crawfish probably translates to about 30 pounds of actual crawfish meat. See?
Well, You know, so if there were four travelers, I'm not that great in math, 66 pounds of oranges, that's over 20 pounds for, well, not quite 20 pounds, mm-hmm. four travelers. Like I said, I'm not that good in math. That's why I got in radio, but you do the math. That's 15 pounds each.
But yeah, Chestnut could have knocked that out.
That's a little more than that. That's 15. That's 16 or so pounds of oranges for each person, and they did it in about
30 minutes.
30 minutes, a half hour, maybe a little bit more than that. Oh boy, they just wanted to save a few bucks. It's amazing what some people will do to save a few dollars.
And oranges are called mandarins, aren't they, in China? No.
And I know that's a type of orange.
Oh, okay, type of orange.
Anyways, the four travelers who ate 66 pounds of oranges to avoid the extra airline fees, that's not only the most filling thing, but it's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.